Alrighty, g'day guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Crypto Catch-Up. Today's a bit more of a special episode. We're joined by friends of the show, the Investified lads, Ant and Zach. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for having us, fellas. Good to be here.
Absolute pleasure. Love these catch-ups.
Absolutely. Well, we love having you on, and I'm joined by the great man, the Sky News specialist, Pav Hundal. How you doing, mate?
Good, mate.
Yeah, good.
I'm excited. We've get to reflect on how we sort of saw the market playing out from end of last year we last curled up.
Yeah, so I guess today's episode will be a little bit different to our regular sort of setup, where we'll touch on some of the predictions we made, as you mentioned, at the end of last year, and see how they've gone so far, and see, you know, if anything's changed on either of our ends in terms of, you know, coins or narratives we're looking at, and strategies as well. But to kick things off, I thought we'd touch on the market and just give our thoughts there. Pav, I thought I'd start with you on that one, given you're the expert.
Not really expert. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think there's a bit of shakiness, I guess, what we're seeing right now. We've broken those all-time highs, retested the 2021 highs, technically speaking. I guess from a fundamental point of view, we haven't really started the week to see what the US demand's been from an ETF front, because that's really been what's propping the market up lately. This week, we also have a massive news catalyst, the FOMC, the US interest rate meeting. I guess for those that don't really care about macroeconomics, very quickly, we've had really hot inflation data, so above expectations in the last 2 months. So this meeting's pretty important in the sense of, are they going to change their tone and what they expect? Because I've been talking about this year being the year for rate drops. So if anything happens around rates not dropping as soon as people expect, we could potentially see more of a sell-off in the market. Mm-hmm. But that's just purely driven off sentiment, like how people feel, how confident are investors right now. So not crypto specific, but crypto will likely feel the aftermath of that. But the alternate's true as well. If they come out and say, yes, inflation's higher than what they expected, but they penciled this in, and they're still adamant that we'll see rate drops this year, probably would see that as a good news outcome, yeah, or as expected outcome, in which case, hopefully we're just off to the races again. And yeah, I'm still eyeing off Bitcoin as the next key technical target. It's about 80 to 100K if the market holds up. But yeah, if we start to fall away, I might have to reforecast. Mm, yeah,
absolutely. And yeah, obviously we've had a hot couple of weeks, but now we've dipped a little bit. Anth, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it at all, Ted. I think it's very normal to see a bit of a cool off in the market. And if anything, it's a positive thing. It flushes out some of the bad money or those that are over leveraged. And I think with that, you're getting a lot of short-term investors probably just panic selling before the market goes down. So we see this time and time again when the market is really hot. And that's exactly what's happened in the last few months. And we've got the halving coming up in about a month's time. And yeah, again, the past performance, not an indication of future performance, but the market does tend to retrace the Bitcoin market ahead of the halving. So nothing really is out of the ordinary, or nothing really to be concerned about on my end.
Yep. Zach, similar sentiment there?
Yeah. Have you boys also asked or requested to convert your salaries into meme coins yet? Or is
it... I asked. I wasn't allowed.
Out with a gag from the first thing he says.
The market's been extremely hot, and we're talking about this pre-show. I'm sure we'll go into a little bit more. And there's definitely been a heap of speculation, especially coming from meme coins. It's been absolute chaos there, which is really, you know, a good indication the market was ready to cool off. We obviously just smashed through any sort of all-high ceiling recently, which I think it happened a lot quicker than a lot of us expected. But I guess seeing the inflows from the ETF approval, it probably wasn't too surprising that we were able to do that. I think there's definitely a lot more to come, but you know, the market seems to be very robust at the moment as well. Even since the drop from FTX back in 2022, we really haven't seen like a 20% drawdown from that 15K mark all the way up to our all-time highs. So, you know, as I guess the market ages, we're seeing it become, as I mentioned, more robust. And I think we're only going to continue to see that further. It's my prediction there. You know, institutions are still buying up at these all-time high levels, which I thought was really interesting. You still got MicroStrategy, for example, who they're buying in at the tops, you know, and this is a really good indication, I think, as well. Bitcoin, you know, with this supply shock recently, has taken over silver, which I found quite interesting. You know, the silver is obviously a commodity that's been around for a very, very long time. And, you know, it's surpassed that $1.4 trillion mark for Bitcoin alone. So I thought that was a massive milestone for Bitcoin if I do that. But yes, I guess going back to what you were saying, Pav, and, looking at this inflation data, I found it quite interesting to see some stats this week where, you know, you've got a lot of the billionaires, Bezos, Zuckerberg, Jamie Dimon, they were actually selling billions of dollars of their own stocks as well. So it's always like, yeah, what's the reason for that? Do they know something that we don't? Is this some data, you know, just going to come out? Or are they just, you know, getting ready to load up into Bitcoin and Ding Dong
Just
coin?
Waiting by dog with hat.
We'll see.
Actually, it'd be good to get your guys' quick opinions. Like, do you kind of feel like with this whole ETF narrative, the way it's sort of starting to mold, I guess, our industry to be a little bit different, a little bit more grown up, do you feel like there's more at stake now in the market itself? You know, if you're an ETF fund manager, how are you going to explain a 20% dip to your investors? Do you feel like there's probably more holding the market up now than there was in the past from just a fundamental perspective?
Yeah, that's a really good call. Like, there's probably a band of these institutions working together to maintain that interest for their clients, because, you know, if they do start seeing these wicked drops and Bitcoin, you know, slingshotting around, that's going to scare a lot of these older investors that are coming in with big money. So they've probably got like a duty of care almost to make sure that they're preventing these sort of vicious swings to occur.
Yeah, good
point.
And I just want to touch on, Zach, you were talking about the meme coins are running hot at the moment and getting a bit frothy to an extent. Pavel, you were telling me just before we started recording about this new meme coin Slurf. Can you tell us a little bit what happened there?
Yeah, I guess it's just a sign of the times, right? So we've all seen meme coins go crazy. And it kind of is almost like a bit of a weird throwback to almost like 2017 ICO crypto, where there's pre-sales happening for meme coins of all things. So TLDRs, send a certain contract address just randomly, one Solana or whatever the cost is, and it basically buys you a ticket to an airdrop of when the token goes live. And yeah, supposedly the dev allegedly fat fingered and burnt, what was it, 1.7 billion US dollars worth of people that had invested into this pre-sale.
Yeah,
I dare say something else will probably come out soon to say he's off to the Bahamas.
The quote from the developer is, "This is not a joke and I really effing messed up and I'm really sorry. It was a simple mindless misclick when I was in the process of burning the LP."
Yep.
So, yeah, I guess, yeah, like you said, a sign of the times, but also potentially a sign that things are just getting too frothy.
Yeah.
And when these things happen, particularly, I always remember during the last cycle when Melania Trump released her own set of NFTs, and I thought, this has to be it. So yeah, like, you just got to look for those sorts of things, hey?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway.
Mania,
exactly.
Signs of mania.
Wild times.
Absolutely. But look, yeah, as I mentioned at the start of the episode, we did a 2024 predictions episode that was released early this year, where we kind of picked what coins we're looking at, what narratives and sectors we're kind of keeping an eye on, and what trends might play out. So I kind of wanted to touch on a few of these and show the performance thus far this year for some of these ones that we picked. And we'll get kicked off with you. The key ones that you kind of highlighted that you're watching, Beam, obviously, like a gaming chain, VRA, so plus 71% and 52% respectively. So strong performance there. Are you holding those bags?
First of all, you're welcome to all the listeners out there. I think with any of these, you could throw a dart blindfolded and you would have...
I'll give yourself a bit of credit.
...with these tokens. So I'd like to claim that this was great research and a gun at picking, but I think everyone's done well. We go through these results below. Am I holding them? I'm holding Veracity. I'm not holding Beam. So unfortunately, Beam's one that's doing better and I'm probably more long-term bullish on Beam. So I probably need to go ahead and get myself a bag there. But good results so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, Zach, you probably performed the best out of all of us, given that you had a key focus on the AI sector, which obviously has probably been the biggest trend this year if you're looking at that and meme coins. So nailed it, mate.
Yeah, I mean, really off the back of NVIDIA. We've got NVIDIA's consistent dominance to really, thank her, I think, for the AI narrative to really, be as strong as what it has been. Pretty much anything that you touched in AI, minimum it's done is 150%, which is pretty cool since year to date. So yeah, it's been a definitely strong year there. Casper at its slowest start, around 14%. There's another one that had a huge run up to the end of the year and then has been sort of coasting. It's been letting everyone else have a bit of fun. But yeah, I do expect that to sort of come back and have a strong finish to the year as well, in my opinion. So
Yep.
And just on the AI sector, like obviously we've had this huge run up, you know, largely off the back of NVIDIA and also, you know, ChatGPT and OpenAI releasing their text to video tool, things like that happening. But do you see that continuing to play out? Because Pav and I touched on it last week, we touched on a Coinbase report that kind of said, yeah, like these AI coins are pretty much just running based on hype and not really, you know, any sort of value behind them yet. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I think it's still a very like speculative industry for sure. Like there's not a lot of working products at this stage, but you know, what are you here to do? Like there's money to be made, I guess, in the short term, just riding out those waves. Whether you hold them for 5 years, you know, is another question, whether they're ready for those sort of commitments. But yeah, look, if you're looking for, yeah, there's plenty of swing opportunities with AI, short to midterm plays out.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really see it slowing down either.
No.
There's just like, there's so much retail attention on it, that and I guess gaming as well, because it's one of the ones that is easier to understand for the retail sector. So yeah, no, I mean, we probably won't see that slow down anytime soon. For me personally,
also with those ones, Ted, just really good to take profits when you can, because they go up pretty fast, but they can dip just as fast or if not faster. Yep. So with all of these, the market caps are a lot smaller, so you tend to see the price fluctuate a lot more.
Well said. That's the experienced, investified way coming into the coming
on his hand.
Yeah, very absolutely. Good. Thanks for calling that out, Ant. For me, yeah, I kind of had a similar approach to you, Anth, where I was looking at gaming chains. I highlighted IMEX. Same with you, Pav. You highlighted Beam, I guess, in the same sort of realm there. Yeah. And also like the newer layer ones I was focusing on. So Sui and Say, and then also, of course, Sol, which has performed quite well. But Sui and Say, I guess the trend I'm kind of always looking out for is the fact that the layer ones or the infrastructure will tend to gain more value than the actual protocols or applications. So that's kind of my focus, whether it comes to gaming or, you know, layer one infrastructure. I'm always looking at the chains rather than the actual application itself.
Yep.
But yeah, so he's had a nice little run of 103% since we made that call. And then Solana 82% just seems to go from strength to strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pav, we'll just quickly touch on you. You were kind of similar, Say, Beam and Celestia, TIA.
Yeah, which kind of slowed down and definitely had the massive run up similar to Casper. It's just been consolidating since.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, that takes us to our next segment where we kind of want to touch on, you know, we've looked at the last 3 months and the coins and narratives we called out at the start of the year. How do we see sort of the rest of the year playing out? I know Bitcoin's obviously going to be a key focus for the next few months. I think Standard Chartered recently just updated their prediction from 100K to 150K USD by the end of the year for Bitcoin to reach. So that's obviously massive. I know that our predictions that we made at the start of the year for Bitcoin all-time high still, you know, relatively on track. So hopefully we see that play out. But Ant, has anything changed when it comes to your sort of strategy or the, you know, the narratives that you're focusing on for the remainder of the year?
No, not really, Ted. First of all, I'm still big on the gaming sector and in particular GambleFi. We haven't really seen that take off as yet. I think there'll be a wave of that hopefully in the back half of the year, if not earlier. So I'm still bullish on that sector and I still think we're still to see the biggest returns of that coming out of us. The one thing I will change is probably my price prediction of Bitcoin at the end of the year. Conservative and had it around similar all-time highs to 21 of 69,000.
Well, you can make the claim that that was before the ETF approval, so you can...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you got that excuse.
I think
what is it now?
Finish higher.
What is it? Put a number on it.
In the hot seat.
Nah, I'll probably say 120, which is almost probably double to what I thought. I still think we're going to go lower. I wouldn't be surprised if we head back to the 50s some stage this year, and it could be in the next few months. But I think we're going to see a real spike in the back half of the year. The run that we've had to date this year, I personally did not see coming as early as it did. So it blew me away. And I think that the best is still to come for this year. So yeah, probably just changing the goalposts on where I see Bitcoin going for the rest of the year, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it was a nice surprise. And Zach, take it you're still focusing on AI from what we just heard from you. Anything else that you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, so that's still, and like it's interesting seeing a lot of these major blue chip coins making pivots into AI. You know, we've seen
Theta.
Yeah,
Near Protocol and Theta, like some of the, even the older dinosaur coins, not dinosaurs, but previous cycle, just category switch.
It's a bit of that, isn't it? Everyone wants a slice of the narrative and to tap into some extra retail capital there. So, no, it's a good play. And there's obviously lots of benefits from it as well. So, yeah, like you see the growth out of someone, like Near, Arweave, and there's some really good opportunities even with those larger coins as well. But really starting to move down and look into sort of the lower market cap plays, sort of like, 100 million to 500 million. So plays like Arai, the type of plays that I'm starting to look at now that have, still a lot of growth potential there. I think if you can, even coins that intersect a couple different industries, I find work really well as well, because it gives them a double chance to gain that pumpability.
Yeah.
So like a gaming AI intersection, there's a coin I came across yesterday. I can't remember what it was called, GameFi, something like quite basic like that, but it was intersecting both gaming and AI. So I thought that to me sounds like a really good play. I like the base ecosystem. They're trying to onboard a billion users. And I think, with the dominance of Coinbase, I think they've got a really good chance of being able to make a really big mark on that. So looking into, a lot of the meme coins, seeing the flurry of meme coins come off Solana, I think base definitely has got a lot of opportunities there. Not just meme coins, but other plays off the back of that. But yeah, then Solana's just going to continue, I think, to have a range of opportunities there as well. So it's definitely going to be on my radar. So I'd say that was going to be my main focus in terms of my focus of investment.
Absolutely. I like the strategy of the intersection of different narratives, gaming and AI. Obviously, like we know that the market, particularly in a bull market, tends to move in these narratives, being able to capture multiple. I know that a lot of them are, half deep in, decentralized physical infrastructure and half AI. And so they're capturing both those sort of those run-ups. But yeah, that's just the way the market seems to operate right now. Pav?
Yeah. Look, I think in terms of strategy, this is a kind of point where if you've been in for a while, I feel like you want to let your winners run, especially when you've gotten such potentially good entries in 2023. The last thing you kind of want to do is give them up at the start of a bull run. So part of my strategy is like my Solana, for example, I probably will continue to sit on that until I see a reason not to. But I kind of side with Zach right now. Like I'm going in the trenches. Like I'm trying to find things that are good plays in terms of something that I can build a community around, something that could have functionality, something good tokenomics, fundamentals, partnerships in that under 100 sort of ranking. And we talk about sort of AI as being one of those sort of speculative spaces. Like I still think I'm yet to see something that I like the sounds of in terms of fundamentally something that does something that makes sense. But I actually did run across a project recently, Synesis One, I think it's called. SNS is a ticker. It's literally paying people to modify AI prompts to improve AI modeling. So you get paid in a token for just doing essentially a bit of work, bit of effort. So something like that at least makes sense. It's sort of building upon a community to improve something. So I can get behind that. But yeah, to sort of answer point as well, I think just because something like Gamblefy or gaming, just because it hasn't popped, doesn't mean it's not going to. It's probably a higher chance of that having a potential higher ROI than maybe something that's already run quite a bit already. So I think there's a few ways to play this. So you kind of want to probably hold potentially, a more balanced portfolio, which is what I'll be taking the approach. I really like, this might be an absolute meme, but I'm going down the route of layer threes. So, Zai, XAI, layer three on Arbitrum, a gaming sort of network similar to IMX, which is layer two. Looking at that, full disclosure, I have started building a position in that. So that's also in that, as we sort of talked about, lower rankings as well in terms of market cap. So the potential ROI is a little bit higher as long as there's follow through and commitment from the community and investors. So that's kind of what I'm sort of shaping up right now. Hold on to winners and start investing where I'm seeing likely capital rotations, new narratives.
Absolutely. I guess to finish things off, as I mentioned before, like I'm focusing more on the infrastructure and like the layer one, the network itself or on the applications or the protocols. I'm starting with layer ones, so I'm going to continue to have focus on Solana, Sui, and Say rather than like more of the legacy ones. I know that they're trying to pivot into capturing that AI narrative and things like that. But I'm sticking with my my guns on this one.
Yep.
And, you know, the likes of Sui and Say have really strong relationships with like Web2 companies.
Yeah, I think that's a big one.
That's definitely big. And that we've already kind of see that play out with like Sui's wallet.
Yeah.
Their Google Cloud wallet.
Yep.
So yeah, really keep an eye on those ones. The gaming focused blockchains. So remaining with the theme of, you know, focusing on the chain. So the big ones I'm eyeing are obviously Immutable X, which we talked about in our last episode with you boys, Beam, which you guys highlighted, and then also Ronin. So Ronin's the, I guess, like heavily linked with Axie Infinity, probably the premier game of the last cycle. Died off a bit now, but there, you know, more games are migrating to the Ronin network. I think Pixel is the hot one at the moment.
It is.
And yeah, they're just getting a lot of daily active users. So yeah, like you said, Pav, I think, yeah, gaming's had a bit of a slow start to the year. But as more retail comes in, I think we'll start to see a rotation into some of those coins.
Yep.
I think games, you know, individual games will perform well. The likes of Alluvium, which I know you touched on last time, Anth.
Yeah.
I think they're planning a launch this year, so I have no doubt that that will be very popular. But yeah, my particular focus is on the chain itself.
Yeah, nice.
And then last...
of approach as well, Ted, so that's good.
Yeah. Lastly, which I don't think any of us spoke about in our last episode, is Deepin. So Pav and I have spoken about it a little bit on the podcast. It's like decentralized physical infrastructure. I'm sure you boys are all over it. But essentially, yeah, it kind of encompasses things like cloud storage, computing power, and wireless networks. So I know Messari did a bit of a report and they looked into, you know, the potential growth of the Deepin sector. This was, you know, towards the back end of last year, and it is sitting at about $20 billion as a whole. And they're predicting it to reach $3.7 trillion in the next 4 years. So you're looking at almost a 200x, if I've done my maths correctly, over the whole sector. And yeah, we've already kind of seen the growth in that in the likes of Helium, Render. One that I'm also looking at, which isn't a chain. So this is kind of outside my strategy that I was speaking about, but it's Hive Mapper. So paying people to map streets and then selling that data to public companies. And then lastly, this hasn't released a token yet, but Peak Network is a blockchain that's focused solely on like Deepin applications. So I see that kind of being a trend as well, is layer one networks that are specialized, you know, in maybe gaming or Deepin or AI, and being like, you know, not just all encompassing networks like ETH and Solana, but more specialist, providing the infrastructure that is necessary for those applications to exist. So Peak, P-E-A-Q, hasn't got a token yet, but keep an eye out for it. They've already, you know, got a pretty thriving ecosystem there. So keep an eye out for that.
That's always a good sign when there's already a community pre anything launching.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a good, easy way to start doing some DD, do your research.
Yeah, for sure. Alrighty, guys. Well, we might leave it there. I think we covered off on a lot. Hopefully the listeners got some solid alpha out of that, especially from these two. I don't know about us, but
yeah, we're just having a swing.
We try our best.
I think everyone would have had run out of ink, run out of their pens from writing down all those gems you just mentioned, mate.
Yeah, we might need to chuck them all in the show notes.
Yeah, maybe some show notes.
I think we mentioned about 20 of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, so that's Zach and Anth from Investified, you know, very beginner-friendly crypto, you know, educational platform. You guys provide some really good research and information on TA and fundamentals when it comes to crypto, but also stock trading as well. So make sure if you're listening and you want to get a little bit more alpha, go check out their platform, which we'll link in the show notes as well.
Check it out.
Thanks for coming on, boys.
Do good, guys. Great chat to us.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's show. If you liked it, don't forget to head over to the gram and join us at Tapping Into Crypto. And before we finish up, just a general disclaimer that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. And the opinions on this podcast belong to individuals and are not affiliated with any companies mentioned. Any advice is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek out the help of a licensed financial advisor. We'll talk to you soon.